next to the last night of our being together, amen, ain't the last night of the meeting. Sunday morning, it starts all over again. Now, I don't know about you, but Saturday nights bother me. I thank God for churches that have prayer meeting on Saturday night. Because about 7 o'clock, I'm thinking, ain't I supposed to be in church somewhere? I'm supposed to be in church someplace. And thank God for prayer meetings on Saturday nights. Amen. We're going to Romans chapter 11 again. Would you guess that? Romans chapter 11. I want to look at another thought tonight. I want you, if you can, while you're turning to the chapter and standing, I want you to try to think back. What did we just sing? A couple of you got it. What did God pick out tonight for congregational singing? Huh? Sound the battle cry? Stand? You know that's a call. Amen? Let's stand together. Romans 11. Again, verse 25 at the end of the chapter. Paul writing to the saints at Rome, to all that be at Rome, called to be saints, said in chapter 1, about Israel and about the people of God and about what they're supposed to do and all this and how God was going to supply for them that which He would never take back. Gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Verse 25 says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Won't that be a grand time? As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as in time past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, and so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? So you can't outgive God. No matter how much time, talent, or treasure you give God, it's brought back to you. For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And I want to add a verse tonight. Can I add a verse tonight? Tonight go to James chapter 1 for our add a verse, all right? James chapter 1. I want you to see something here. James chapter 1. Look with me, please, if you will, at the 17th verse of James 1. God Almighty says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now look at this. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what it's saying? These good gifts that God gives, you can count on it being there when you need it. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God has blessed us. And He is such a constant. He is such a stabilizer that no matter the gift and no matter the call, you can count on it. It's, look what it says, good and perfect. That's God I serve. How about you? Father, I love You. We have had one fine week here, Lord, and I'm asking You, Father, give us two more nights of Thy presence. Lord, I'm glad to be near You. I want you, Lord, to deliver this message tonight through me. I want you, Lord, to enhance, Father, your Spirit as He roams around in here and speaks to hearts and minds. Heavenly Father, I'm still waiting on one to walk the aisle and repent and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm waiting, Heavenly Father, for Thy working in the salvation area. And Lord, if I don't get to see it while I'm here, Father, I'll hear about it. Later on, somewhere down the road, Father, one of these will show somebody the Lord Jesus and they'll get saved and I'll get to hear about it. Maybe somebody will walk the aisle Sunday while the preacher's preaching, Lord, and I'll get to hear about it. Father, that's worth it all. I want to also thank you, Lord, for what you've done amongst the heart of the saint. Lord, you've showed him things. Our brother prayed for our hearts to be opened. I agree with that. We're touching that together, me and him, that our hearts will be open, Lord, that you could pour into us what we need to hear tonight that'll make us better people than we were before we came. Thank you for all that you've done this week thus far. Preach now, Lord. Save now, Lord. Help now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. As I look at this day in and day out and try to get the mind of God on what... See, for those of you that don't know, after a while, experientially, we can get up here and go anywhere in that book and give you a message. Okay, me, Brother Fenton, and other men of God here. After a while, because of experience, we can go anywhere in this book and bring you a message. Any night of the week, any day of the week, any time you need it, we can pull up a 30, 45 minute, hour message experientially. Because we've been at it a while. But the right message on the right night for the right crowd is what's important. And the rack in our brains, it's not the message, because we can grab anything. We can grab what you've already heard but wasn't listening to. Or we can grab some new and fresh, amen, from the Lord and bring that to you. But if it's not the right night, it won't be anointed as it ought to be. It'll be touched by God because it's the word of the Lord. But it won't be as anointed as it needs to be. You and I tonight need to live in the anointing of God. Do you know anybody that's got the touch of God on them? Man, that girl's got the touch of God on her. You've had some... besides your own pastor, you've had some great men come to this pulpit, amen, and you sat back there and you listened and it just awestruck you, the touch of God that was on them. We've been around men like that, men like Earl Hughes and J.E. Glass and Jack Wood and Jack Parchman and different men like that. I mean, they walk in, it was like God came. Touch of God on them. The anointing of God on them. We need that in our day. This world out here all around us needs to see somebody that's got a touch of God on them. Somebody that's got some glow about them. Somebody who has been on the mountain with the Lord and has got a little glow about them. Somebody that's maybe inwardly afraid but not outwardly afraid. Maybe someone who is maybe a little intimidated, but realizing they can overcome that with good. You always overcome evil with good. That's how we always live. That's how you got to do it. We're living in a very evil world now. Perilous times. Paul said are coming. Perilous times will come, but they're here now. We're living in them. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, do we? We don't know how God's going to do with what's going on all around us. There's talk of things coming back around again, and thank God it is. And there's talk of this and talk of that, but God Almighty said, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amen. Okay, that's what God said about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to be. They don't know what tomorrow's going to be. They've got ideas, they got plans, but that don't mean it's going to work out that way. So what you and I've got to do is we've got to make up our mind what we're going to do no matter what God allows to happen. That's the whole point. Now listen to me. It's 7:29 on a Thursday night in June already. June already. In the next few minutes, we're planning on having a message out of the Word of God. Am I right about it? A message about the calling, which is without repentance. A message about what God has given us, and He's one who never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, therefore He does not change, He told Israel. And God Almighty wants us to understand that because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, what we need to do is prepare for it tonight. That's what Saturday nights were invented for, in case you didn't know it. Saturday nights were created to prepare for Sunday morning. You find your shoes. You find your Bibles. Come on now. I'm being funny. You find your shoes, you find your Bibles, you make sure all the little puddle ducks got all their stuff together. So in the morning, you don't drive yourself nuts trying to find everything to get to church on time. That's what Saturday night's for. It's not for Saturday Night Live. It's not for whatever else happens on Saturday nights. It's to prepare for the Lord's Day on Sunday, okay? That's what Saturday's for. You need to teach your children that. Don't drive yourself nuts, Mom and Dad, getting all your puddle ducks ready. Teach them. This is a very important time. Why, Mommy? Because tomorrow is the Lord's Day. And we get to go to church tomorrow, and we get to hear the preacher. We've got to put some excitement in these babies about God and His people. And ain't we have to go to church tomorrow? We get to go hear the preacher tomorrow. Right. Brother Hartman's gone and our preacher's preaching. That's how you ought to do Saturday nights. Pack them babies full of respect for the man of God. Because He is in charge of them. Over you, Mom and Dad. Huh? Mm-hmm. Hebrews says so. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Does your kid have a soul? The pastor's in charge of it. Now, he delegates some of that to you, Mom and Dad, because you hatched them. Come on. All them little birdies you got in the nest, you hatched them. But the man of God is going to face God with account of what he has done to every soul under his jurisdiction. Am I right or wrong? Come on, Lamb. Come on, stay with me. That's why he's so vitally important. That's why we need all kinds of benignities around here. Nothing gets to the preacher. Everybody stands. So let's look at that tonight. Let's look at being called to stand. And see if God Almighty can give us just a little more strength tonight. I'm not talking about going out here, the brother was kid, we was kid about putting them on the floor and you're going to get this. We don't do that. But what we do is we do take a stand for our God. Y'all heard the news today about Drew Brees, didn't you? Huh? He took a stand the other day for the flag. Bless his heart. Amen. Took a stand the other day. And then they got on him like white on rice. And so today he sissied out and apologized. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody. If the American flag offends, they're the ones that are in the wrong country, not us. I am so sick of them cowards. All it takes is one somebody to say, I didn't like that. I had somebody one time said, my truck offends him. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly on the front of my truck. On the wind visor. On the back it says, Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus your Savior? They couldn't impart it. I said, that offends me. I said, praise the Lord. He said, what? I said, that means you're not a reprobate. You're still soft enough in the heart for that to bother you. I'm glad it bothers you because that means you're not dead. That means God's got a chance to deal with you some more. You're not a corpse. Amen. He went. I wasn't going to get out of my truck and get on my knees and say, please forgive me, I'll take it off tomorrow. No siree. That's why we're in the shape we're in. Now, my love, listen to me closely. I'm going to say a funny. You ready for another funny? John Wayne was not a soldier. He was an actor. And the part he played was a man. And if you think about manhood, you think about him sometimes. But he was just an actor. All that was play. None of it was real. It was all a lie. He was the most famous Hollywood liar that ever walked. Come on now, that's all Hollywood is a lie. Okay? It's all phony baloney. It ain't never real. They don't live like that, act like that. Okay? They're not that. They're not soldiers. Huh? They don't die in this movie and resurrect in the next and become a cowboy. That don't happen. Huh? He didn't die on the mountain over on Iwo Jima and get over there in Texas and win the battle. It's just entertainment. But the point I'm trying to make is this. If you, old days, you watch the things and there, he was standing there. That's what men do. They stand. But we have been effeminized so bad in our country anymore. That, my dear family, it's hard to find men. Males of the species. Men. We got a lot of boys, but very few men. It's hard to marry our daughters off because they don't need to marry boys. They'll have boys, but they need to marry a man. And they're hard to find. Men are a rare breed in our day and age. And don't get me wrong, there's some, but I'm just telling you, they're a rare breed. And what we need to do is we need to raise some. We need to grow some. And we're not talking about fist fighting, knife fighting, gun fighting. We're not talking about that. We're talking about men of God, people of God, who stand their ground and don't back up. Every time somebody says that bothers me, I wish you wouldn't do that. Listen to me, my dear family, their lostness bothers me. Come on now. They treat my God like he's some kind of alien or something. Listen to me now. That offends me. But that don't mean I'm going to go around destroying everything because I'm mad about it. Look with me, please, in your Bible. You with me tonight? The call to stand. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. Let's go there first. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I got a bunch of verses. I'll just read them out to you and we'll go to the house. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me, please, if you will, in the 14th verse. I'm trying to not incite a riot. Okay? I'm trying to instill some courage and some grit, gut, and glory in you, alright? Verse 14 of chapter 2 says, now thanks be unto God which always. Just stop right there. 2:14, 2 Corinthians, all right? We thanks be unto God which always, always. What does he always do? He always causes us to triumph in Christ. It didn't say triumph in the world. Greater than you and I have been martyred in this world. Greater than you and I have been eaten by lions. Ladies have had babies ripped out of their wombs and had their body parts cut off while they're hanging on a tree because they would not say no to Jesus. They said no to religion. But they triumphed in Christ. You and I are way too self-preservation, whatever I'm trying to tell you. We're trying to save ourselves too much. What we need to do, my dear family, is thank God we're always going to triumph in Christ and make us manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place, that sweet odor of His knowledge in us. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. God smells Jesus when He looks at us. In them that are saved and in them that perish. You and I, my dear family, have an opportunity, and what a greater opportunity than the last of the Laodicean church age, where the church itself, my dear family, declares, I am rich in the Christian goods and have need of nothing. I'm not talking about the true church. I'm talking about the church in general. They're wishy-washy and lukewarm and makes God sick. And what a chance we got to stand and just show them how pure Christianity really works. Through the thick and the thin, through the briars and through the meadows and up the mountains and down through the rivers. 1 Corinthians 15 now. We find ourselves, my dear family, always looking towards God for the answers. And God always says this, I always give you the triumph in Christ. I always, when you take a stand for me, no matter where you're at, I'm going to smell, and it's going to be the smell of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As you present the knowledge of your knowledge of God to these people, as you show them you belong to me, as you show them you love me, as you show them that there's nothing they can do to harm you, they can knock your soul slam out of you, but I'll bring you to heaven as soon as they do. All they can do is kill the body. They cannot kill the soul. Stand up for Jesus, we sang. Come on now, we sang about it, let's see if we can't live about it. 1 Corinthians 15, please, verse 57, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I told you Sunday, I ain't preaching nothing new to you this week. Be ye steadfast. You have a preacher, the pressure's on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But Brother Don, they're coming to get us. To do what? Now, none of us wants to suffer. I ain't saying that. None of us wants to go to jail. None of us wants to be beat up or nothing like that. We ain't talking about that. I done got to the point in life now, I can't even fight back anymore. All right, my arthritis is so bad, if I hit them, it hurt me worse than it hurt me. But I'm just telling you, my dear family, we need to stand in these days. And the standing's not this necessarily. The standing is just simply standing with Christ and saying, listen, I will not renounce my God. I will not stop serving my God. You cannot make me stop praying. You cannot make me stop passing out tracts. I am not soliciting anything. I'm not trying to buy. I'm not trying to sell. I am giving away everything I've got. Let me tell you what Jesus did.
Amen.
You should preach what you say. I'm saying, my dear family, that come and say, there's a law against that. They did that to me in West Virginia way back in the 80s when we had that little old church in the mountains. The state of West Virginia came and said, sir, do you realize that you're not a legal church? I said, take this book and prove that to me. He said, I want to see your constitution. I said, I just told you, take this book. Well, I want to know who your members are. I said, you ain't none of your business who my members are. You want to know what I'm doing? Take this book. Looked at me like I was out of my mind. Why? Because everybody else has said, oh goodness, hold on. Can we wait a minute? Let me call my lawyer. Now, there's nothing wrong with having lawyers. And there's nothing wrong with the way people are told by God to do their certain section of whatever the ministry is. But I just did what God told me to do while I was there. And I'm the same way now in evangelism all these many years. Sir, do you understand you're not allowed to do that here? I said, sir, do you understand I am? And they look at you like you're nuts. See, okay. Now, listen, we're supposed to be kind and courteous. Come on now.
Yeah.
Kind and courteous. We are to obey the authorities. Okay? But let's read all of that chapter. Let's just not sissy out in the first few verses.
Amen.
What are we going to do with Acts 5?
Yeah, amen.
Right. We obey God rather than man, Pete said.
Yeah.
And he was talking so folks would cut his head off. But it didn't work because he always triumphed in Christ. He didn't worry because God always gives them the victory through Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain of the Lord. Preacher, they made me stop knocking doors. You know there are cities in America you're not allowed to knock doors. It is illegal to knock doors in that city. Let's thank the JWs for that. They went in there and just ruined it. You're not allowed to be on the street in Stanton, Virginia and pass out tracts or preach. Because a bunch of morons went down there one day and raised a bunch of junk and got a bunch of trouble going. And so they passed the city ordinance. So the second you start doing anything in Stanton, Virginia, you go to jail. Why? Because somebody didn't have enough sense to do it God's way. There's a way of a bunch of difference, my dear family, in doing in zeal and arrogance than it is saying, Lord God, guide me, direct me, fill me with thy compassion, give me power, give me boldness, give me what I need, Lord Jesus, so I can do this thing right. Listen to me, my family. We always win in Jesus, but we don't always win in society. A lot of dear people, my dear family, have stopped winning anywhere because society said, you ain't allowed to do that here. And they said, okay, I'm sorry. Ithaca, New York tried that on me years ago when we was down at a big camp meet at Alpine. Brother Lamus said, Brother Don, I want you to take the men to the streets of Ithaca and show them how to street preach. I said, okie dokie. So we went to the streets of Ithaca and we're out there and we're preaching around there in the middle of town there in that little square. And one of the guys, it was right after Lady Di got killed, and one of the guys was burning her up. I mean, that poor girl, man, it was awful. When I come back around from walking the block, I come back around and I heard him in there and he was firing up them Satan worshipers. Boy, he was cooking on them boys. I mean, they were mad. He kept busting Lady Di. And I'm trying to be cordial and kind and nice and trying to defuse the fight that's coming. I walk by and I say, shut your stinking mouth and get back to Jesus. Kept on walking. I walked over to the side there, started passing out tracts, and I'll be hanged if that guy didn't try it again. I walked back by and I said, I told you, shut your mouth, get to Christ, or else. Walked over to the other side, started passing out tracts. Third time, he said, Lady Di is in hell and she deserves it. I went over, grabbed him by the arm. I said, shut your mouth. You're done. Right in front of everybody. He said, how dare you? Old Don said, new Don said, don't do it. Don't do it. Old Don says, I'm going to take him out. Old new Don said, don't do it. Don't do it. Took him over to the side. I said, sir, you're totally out of line. You have not got the Spirit of Christ on you, and you're not allowed to preach out here no more.
Amen.
Oh, you should have heard him on the bus going back to the camp meeting. Next day, the newspaper came out and said, the police stopped the street preachers from bothering us in Ithaca. Well, what? No. When they come up, it was time for us to go, so we's going. He come up and said, I want you to stop. I said, we're stopping. We're getting in the bus. We're going back to the meeting. We're done. That's all we said. But the paper said.
Right.
He came out and stopped us. So the next day, I said, Lamus, Leave the women and the kids here. Just us men's going. And we went back to Ithaca. And I walked out in the middle of that square, and that cop went, "Oh, no." I said, "Come here." I said, "You go get that newspaper of somebody that lied about us. You did not stop us from preaching yesterday. We was going anyways. I told you that." "Well, you don't live here. We do." I said, "You saved?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Then why don't you tell any Satan worshipers about Jesus?" I said, "Now move out of the way, sir. I'm fixing to preach." Preacher, what do you do? As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. But there is a spot. There is a place where you've got to realize you're going to triumph in Christ. You've got to realize He's going to give you the victory through Jesus. So you've got to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. All the way back, I was called every name in the book on the bus full of preachers. Because I had the nerve to stop a man of God from preaching. Well, he wasn't of God that day. He may have been a man of God, but he was not a man of God that day. And I said, "You men can say anything you want to." But he was totally out of line. He was not in the spirit of Jesus Christ. I said, "You read me the Bible where Jesus Christ did what he did today, and I'll eat it right out of the book." And it shut them down. Sometimes we just got to stand. Now, do we want to stand and buck up against the brethren? No. Remember yonder in the book right there where Paul said, "I had to stand up against old Peter." Remember? Old Pete was having a big time until the big man walked in. Then he jumped over there and got on their side. Paul burned him for it. So, preacher, what are you saying? We just got to stand. We're called, my dear family, to do what God Almighty wants us to do and to do it God's holy way. Are you listening to me? There is a way to do everything. But if we don't do it God's way, He won't sanction it. If we don't do it God's way, He won't bless it. Gang, listen to me. Our America tonight don't need blessed. It needs help. We have got to go to God and say, "God, you got to help this country." We cannot, listen to me, love. Don't get mad at me now, please. We cannot sing "God Bless America." One of the greatest songs in the songbook. I bawl every time we sing it anywhere in the world. Are you listening to me? But we can't sing "God Bless America" in our great land tonight. We need help. Not a blessing. We need God to come down here and help us. We need God to come down here and do something. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying, "My family, I believe God's walking around looking for some people that He is called to take a stand against that which is wrong. I'm not talking about raising insurrection. I'm not talking about causing a war like the rioters are doing. I'm talking about just stand for Jesus Christ in the face of the enemy. And do what God says to do for a change instead of what everybody else says to do." Look at me, please, if you will, in your Bibles. Look over yonder in 2 Samuel 23. Let me show you some boys. 2 Samuel 23. This is a great chapter. I love this chapter. These guys thrill me. These guys got grit, guts, and glory. I'm telling you right, these guys are something. I like these dudes. Verse 8 and following, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had." Now I know, my love, that all of this is going to be physical stuff. But I want you to realize, dear family, there's a spiritual application to this. The chief among the captains, the same as Adino this night, he lifted up his spear against 800. 800 people. He lifted up his spear and took on 800 people. They didn't stand in line to come get killed. They jumped on that dude from every direction. Are you listening to me? And he stood there. And he did his job. You and I have been called. Listen, there's more than 800 people that's against us. And they're coming from every direction. The only direction they're not coming from is from above. That's our God coming from there. But from every side and from beneath, hell's reaching up trying to grab us by the foot. The enemy of our soul has got his demons everywhere trying to destroy the things of God and the ways of God, the people of God. And dear family, we need some Adinos in our day. We need some people who are called to stand, and it doesn't matter the number coming at us. We always have the triumph in Christ. We always have the victory in Christ.
Amen.
Not in our abilities.
Right.
It is not me and a pastor's abilities that get us through the day.
Right.
It's our God. We say, oh Lord, I gotta have some energy. I got some knowledge. I gotta have some strength. I gotta have some wisdom, Lord. I gotta have some, God, I need an answer. It's God that gives us our stand. It ain't our strength. And the longer we're at it, he's here, been here 30 wonderful years now. I've been on the road 35. Me and Mama dragging that little girl all over the country for 35, all over the world for 35 years. Up and down the mountains of West Virginia for 5.5 before that. Helping a couple of guys 2.5 for 3 years before that. 43 years of being saved. 43 years of walking with God. And I'm getting tireder and slower by the day. I've got to take an hour nap a day now just to preach at night. But it is my God, my dear family, who always gives me the victory and always gives me the triumph. It ain't a fist fight anymore like it used to be, gang. It's a spiritual war. It's a battle against them principalities and powers. It's a battle, listen to me, family, against those who are listening to their father, the devil.
Yeah.
And we got to know how to handle them people. We got to know how to deal with them people. We got to overcome all this evil with good and not be a compromiser in doing it. Go to Galatians 1 with me. Hurry, hurry. Galatians chapter 1. Let me show you a verse here. Let me show you a verse, Galatians 1. I'm talking about taking a stand. I'm talking about God's calling us to stand. Galatians chapter 1, if you will, please. We see the Apostle Paul here, and boy, he was a tough hombre, was he not? Look what he says in verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You see that in your book, Galatians 1:8? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He says it two times. Let that crowd that's preaching false doctrine be accursed.
Right.
He stood against the false doctrines of his day, did he not?
Right.
For do I now persuade men, verse 10? Or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Amen.
That's tough stuff.
Yeah. Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Don? I'm saying because our God always causes us to triumph in Christ, and He always gives us the victory in Jesus Christ, and He's called us to stand in the calling of God's without repentance.
Yeah.
Even when they physically or financially knock us down, we have to stay spiritually up and get right back up again spiritually no matter what. Because they cannot steal our salvation out of us. They may knock us on our back, but they cannot knock our soul out of salvation.
Amen.
We have a God that keeps us by His power. Are you listening to me now, family? We have a way, my dear ones. Back over to 2 Samuel 23 now. The Bible says these words. Not only was there Adina, but there was Eliezer. He was one of the three mighty men. And when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, the men of Israel were going away. Eliezer stood there, my dear family, and that other crowd took off. Verse 10 says, of 23 there, he said, he arose and smote the Philistine till his hand was weary. And his hand clave under the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Look at the word of God in 2 Samuel 23. Look at verse 10. He arose and smote the Philistine till his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, dear church. They're spiritual. Our hands need to hold on to the sword. We need to take the Word of God and combat every demon of hell that comes at us, no matter the body it's living in.
Right. That's good. Amen.
You'll get to that in a minute. You got to always remember, gang, that crowd that's against Jesus Christ, if they had Christ, it wouldn't be like that. They'd be brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
It ain't them.
Right.
It's it in them. Amen. It's an it in them that's attacking us.
Yeah.
Eliezer arose. Eliezer held on to that sword. But it was the Lord that got the great victory. The Lord worked that victory. The Lord wrought that victory. Then the people came back and took the spoil. I always laugh at this. Eliezer, you did a great job, buddy. Where's all the gold? Right there, dummies. Right there. There was Shammon, verse 11. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground. But he stood there. He defended it. And slew the Philistines. Now who's getting cut? And who's getting slashed? And who has to look in all directions at the same time in order to keep from getting killed? Shammah. But the Lord wrought a great victory. And you and I in 2020 are going to have to wake up to the fact that our God's able to take care of every Philistine that comes at us. Every Chaldean that comes at us. Every Roman that comes out. Come on now. Look at the principle. Look at the principle. Not just the verse. Don't just look at the words. Look at the principle under the verse. It's holding that verse up. What's going on? The enemy is attacking and God is bringing the victory.
Amen.
God's people always triumph in Christ. God's people always have the victory in Christ. They may do the bleeding. They may do the prison. Was there any saint in prison more than Paul? Stoned, killed, come on now. Shipwrecked, starved to death, froze to death, snake bit. Huh? But he looked up at God and said, I'm now ready to be offered. Last thing I want to do is be an offering. So I'm being an offering now. Here I am. You know how he could do that? Because he done lived it for 40 years. After chapter 9, you know what he did? Lord, what will thou have me to do? He made himself an offering right there. And for 40 years, he lived as an offering. And when he got done to the enemy's life, through all the victories, listen to me now, through all the victories, so preacher, I don't see being shipwrecked and being out in that deep a night today a victory. Really? He lived through it. No shark ate his legs off while he was out there. Come on now. I don't care if that took the Lister buds of a victory. He stood up and went back to town. Come on. Preacher, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the end result. I'm talking about taking a stand for God Almighty and watching God bring the victory. He don't have to bring the victory down here. Gang, there is a judgment seat on the yon side of the clouds over yonder. We're headed to that judgment seat. Every one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. You know where I want my victories to be? Over there. Amen. And in my victories over there, I can just trust. I'll live through it. 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 So, preacher, how do you know that? Because my God said, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. How many of you stitch to die and go to hell? Why ain't you? Because you're a good Baptist? You pay your electric bill? You feed your kids? Why you ain't going to hell? Because of Jesus. Now, if he can take care of the eternal problem we had, what do you think this light affliction is to him? It's like a fly. It's like a fly on a big animal. Ain't nothing to him. These little old places that devastate us ain't nothing to him. Why not? Well, have you ever been nailed to the cross? After being up all day and all night? After being whooped with a cat of nine tails till your body ain't in on your bones no more? He said, my bones stare at me. Think about it. He could look down his body and see bones. Not muscle and meat and skin. Bones. And he walked out of there.
Yeah.
You ever been there? Of course not. We think cancer's bad, and it is. Ain't nothing.
Amen.
He triumphantly came out of that tomb on that third day.
Amen.
promised us justification because of that resurrection. Amen. Promised help because he's alive.
Amen. Come on.
All through the book of Acts, I ain't even got time to preach all this. All through the book of Acts, his men knew. It's all right. Because in 21, they'd seen him. John 21. Remember old Pete? In John 21? I'm going fishing. Took some Lord's with him. Looked over yonder there and there's some fellow standing on the shore. Who y'all think that is over there? I don't know. It looks like the Lord. Yeah, ain't me. Oh, it is him. Mm. He done had the fish fry ready before they ever got there.
Right.
Fish, hush puppies. I can see it now. Everything. Let me ask you something. Is your Jesus dead?
No.
Then can you stand if you're called to? Not trusting in yourself. Not hunting for your cell phone to call pastor. Stand. When was the last time you told somebody to take the Lord's name in vain, sir? Stop. Stop using my Savior's name in a custom way. When was the last time you stopped somebody doing that? Preacher, that'll get you a fistful. That'll get you something. I said, yep, a victory in Jesus Christ, a triumph from your God. You become a Dino or a Shammah or an Eleazar. You become somebody that God will bring a victory in. He'll show you how to stand when no one else will stand with you. Them Philistines was up a rearing and everybody ran like jackrabbits except that guy stood there and defended that piece of ground. Goliath will come out and raise his ugly face. Saul and the cowards will shudder and shake. And David will walk up and say, this is no big deal. Will you take care of my light work, Lord? I think God popped him right in the back of the head just as the rock hit him. Helped to glint a little further. Who is this sibling? Who is this young boy? It ain't the boy. And it ain't you and me. It's him. He's our stand. We are in his hand. Do you realize where you're standing? John 10 says you're in his hand. And no man can pluck you out of that hand. Yeah. Preacher, they can put me in Attica. Only if God sticks his hand in Attica.
Right.
You can't get out of God's hand. Do we want to go to Attica? No. I know what ward they put us in if we had to go there.
Uh-huh.
And we ain't saying it for the sake of the children. On purpose, they put us in that ward. And it'd be cave on the door for a while. But though they killed this body, they cannot. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I have been washed, cleansed, sanctified, purified in the blood of Jesus Christ. If they do anything, my family, they have to penetrate, number one, the hand of God. Number two, they have to penetrate the Holy Ghost of God. Number three, they have to penetrate the blood of God. To get to me, they got to go through three walls. Am I the victor or am I not? Are we empowered or are we not? They may load us up on buses and chains and take us out and hang us from the highest tree, but they had to do it through him. And when we get all done with this, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Death has no more sting. Oh, grave, where's your victory? Grave said, I'm going to get you. My soul says, you can't have me. You may get the body, but you ain't getting me. And if that don't make you stand, there's something wrong with your standard. If that pressure gets on you so bad that you just fold up and cave in like old Drew Brees did today, then my dear family, listen to me. There's something you need to walk with God and get your head put back together again. Just go with me for the sake of time. Let's just skip the book of Acts. There's too much in there to preach tonight. Go to Matthew 28, and I'll be done. Matthew 28. I'm talking about called to stand tonight. Again, I'm not trying to incite a riot. I'm simply trying to encourage the saints to realize if there ever was a day that this message is appropriate, it's today. Because we're in a do or die situation.
Amen.
You hear me? I'm talking about politically. I'm talking about financially. If the global elitists who are all multimillionaires who never buy anything with their own money and have more money than they've ever spent in all their life, the George Soros's and the Bill Gates's and the Pelosi's and Nadler's and the Schiff's and the Bernie Sanders's and all the rest of them, globalist, anti-American so-called. They're not American people. They're just so-called.
Amen.
If they do everything in their power to get rid of us, their mindset is they're getting rid of God.
That's right.
That shows you how deranged they are.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
They're deranged.
Amen.
They're delusional. Okay? I know I'm on the air. They're deranged. They're delusional.
Amen.
I don't want to mention any initials or nothing like that, but Pelosi and Schumer, all that crowd's nuts.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
What are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, anybody that's anti-American don't need to live here. I say, get out. All right? You want to be a stinking communist? Go back. Go to Russia. Go to South America somewhere. Go take over Venezuela. Be fine. Amen. But no, see, they can't be satisfied. Now, don't bother them to take up all the American money. It don't bother them to take up all the American air. It don't bother them to eat American food, but they hate America. So I say, quit feeding them, quit paying them, get rid of them. Amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher. No. There was a day when God's people didn't resist. We just stood and said, that is not right. That's not how it is. This is what God's Bible says. See, the problem, my dear family, is we're too cowardly in our day and age. Not everybody, but too cowardly in our day and age to tell them point blank, you are an affront to God Almighty. And that's exactly what they are. They are an affront to God. What are you saying, preacher? But I want to show you a worse enemy. And I'll be done. It's 10 after 8. Matthew 28. Verse 18 says these words. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, don't that sound like a great commission? Sure does. But I want you to look at verse 18 again with me, please. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. I've been praying here recently, especially before we come to church. We pray sometimes. We say, Lord, give me wisdom. And God says, but a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, give us power. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Now close your Bible and just listen to me for the next couple minutes. We'll go pass. Come back tomorrow night. One more time tomorrow night. I'm going to put a cap on this whole thing tomorrow night.
Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Do you and I have power? Then it ain't the need of power, is it? It's the use of power.
Amen.
Holy Ghost? Yeah, Don. Let me use the power I have. Let me use the wisdom that I have in you, Lord. Lord, let me use the delivery of your will to these dear people. Show me, Lord, that which you want them to know. Listen to me close. Our greatest enemy is not them anti-American globalists.
That's right.
Our greatest enemy is ourselves.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
Because we have refused to use the power that's in us.
Amen. That's right.
God says, I'm standing. And we ought to say, I'm standing with you.
Come on.
The Holy One says, I'm going. We ought to say, I'm going too.
Yeah, amen. Come on. Amen.
Our greatest enemy is not them. Why don't I go? Because I got some fear. And fear is natural. But it ain't God to give me the spirit of fear. The spirit's in me. He ain't got no fear. He's got love, power, and a sound mind. Lord, I think I'm losing it. God says, I'm not. Well, yeah, but you're God. Mm-hmm. I am. And you're perfect, and you're holy, and you're. Uh-huh. And I told you to be. I told you to be perfect. I told you to be holy because I'm holy. The problem is not them, son. The problem is you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is follow me. All you got to do is walk with me. Lord, listen to me. Just look at the Gospels in your mind, okay, in your mind's eye. Look at the Gospels and look at the apostles and watch them as they did what they did. And as long as they was with the Savior, they was unstoppable. Unmovable. And you couldn't beat them with a stick. I mean, in the book of Acts, okay, I'll dip into it. In the book of Acts, when they asked them, who told you to do this? They didn't take a vote on who was going to speak. The one who was following God the closest at that moment spoke up. Peter said,
right.
Come on, stay with me.
Right.
When they threatened him, Peter said, come on, stay with me.
Yeah.
They got over there, they threatened them, they jailed them, they beat them. Come on now. It finally got so bad they had to start killing them. And as they was killing one of them, he looked up and seen Jesus, who has all power. He said, I see him. There he is, standing on the right hand of the Father. Mm. And they're killing him. Yet he used the power he had to face death. Old Stephen did. Something wrong like that. What is the deal? He ain't dodging rocks. He's looking up and seeing who did you say you seen? And Stephen fell on sleep. And a very religious dude never got over what he saw.
That's right.
I believe with all of my heart, Seneca Falls need to not get over what they see.
Amen.
But we've got to show up to them first.
That's right.
Called to stand. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not saying you're not standing. I'm not saying that. But I'm asking you this question. In recent months or recent years, has your legs grown wobbly? Have you pleased men God, especially family, friends. All ain't hard to stand at the food table. But boy, when it comes to family and friends, it gets tough, doesn't it? To stand for Christ against family and friends. Preacher? I'm going to just admit tonight that I'm weak. And I need help. Anybody want to join? I'm weak when it comes to standing for Christ in this day and age. I'm going to admit that I am weak. I need some help. God bless every one of you. God bless every one of you. Don't live in despair. Every one of us has these moments. The problem is not the moment. The problem is how long are you going to waller there? The problem is we need to get up as fast as we can. So listen, I always triumph in Christ. I always have the victory in Christ. I need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's not who you tell that. Them, you tell that to yourself. What am I doing? What am I doing? I need to be steadfast. I need to stand strong. I'm in Christ. And then stand back up, child of God. Stand back up. We sang, stand up for Jesus. Oh, is it time to stand, my family? Is it time to stand for the Christ that we love? Father, many have raised their hands. We need help, God. We need help. I need help. Brother Fenton needs help. All of us, the strongest in here needs help, God. So, Father, surely the weak ones do. Father, I come to you every day for your help. I can't do this alone. You said in John 15 that we couldn't do nothing without you. By and by, we come to a partner mission. We don't want to. I don't want to get up in the morning without you. I don't want to go to town tomorrow without you. I don't want to go to work tomorrow without you. I don't want to drive without you. God, we need you. Father, on the days our legs are so weak we can't stand, would you hold us up? Would you let the mighty army of God stand in the face of opposition? Not in war, not in battle, but in the love of Christ and in that which is right. Right is right, Father. Let us stand against that which is wrong. I pray for these dear people in Jesus' name. Come on.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His
call to stand is without repentance.
I pledge allegiance
to
the Lamb. I have heard how Christians long ago,
Lord, I'm afraid,
were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told,
Lord,
that He would spare their lives if they would denounce,
Lord,
the name of Christ. But
one
by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost. To reject this world, to embrace the cross, and one by one let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Now look at me, we're done. Your biggest enemy is not good at who you see tomorrow, outside of yourself. Conquer that one in the mirror first. Today we're going to live. Today we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, and stand with Jesus. Then leave the mirror and do what you say. And watch God give you the victory, the triumph, the power you're asking for. Watch the enemy melt away like snow on a hot winter day. And you'll come back in here tomorrow night shouting the victory. Grab you a couple of tracks. Go serve God.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.